What you just listened to was Here Comes the Hot Stepper, the cover by Shale Riley and the Double Ice Backfire. They successfully, last month, reached their goal by, they almost doubled their goal on Kickstarter. And so they are hard at work getting their album. They've already pushed off the demos off to the professional producer who will be completely redoing Ultimate Songs from the Pit.
I heard that they've heard the feedback from the producer and that it's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm very glad that I supported that. Another Kickstarter that just ended, I believe, was Random's Forever Famicom.
Oh, yeah.
And that sounds like that was also a success.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I'm really looking forward to, I think it ends in January, Scrub Club Records. They're jumping on the Kickstarter bandwagon, and they started something called the John Henry Experiment, where basically it's, you take nerdcore hip-hop and you take steampunk, and it's basically the story of John Henry through hip-hop.
John Henry Irons?
Yeah, well, no, John Henry the American Tall Tale.
So not the super weapons designer?
No.
Also known as Steel.
Well, they might be the same person.
I'm pretty sure.
The similarities are suspect at best.
Is it one Shaquille O'Neal?
They're both black.
No. We don't talk about the
shit. One is Shaquille O'Neal,
that,
and
that
he can't
did not happen.
He can't do free throws. I saw it.
But he free throwed that grenade at the end.
And there's a woman in a wheelchair with rockets.
It did not happen. And
Shaq's,
you cannot
film.
But here's the catch with the Scrub Club John Henry Experiment. Every single sample is going to be a period instrument. For percussion, they're actually going to use like a timpani drum and whatnot.
That's really cool. That's awesome. That'll be a great sound.
That's pixel hate stuff.
Yeah, it's like, it's really dedication to the craft. Now, here's the thing. If you donate like $10 or whatever, you get a free download. That's cool. $15, you get the free download, but you get it a day before everyone else. You know how you get it? A Wells Fargo telegram.
What?
What? Wait, people still do telegrams?
Yes. He will send
beep, 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 beep.
He will send a telegram to you.
How would you
with the link, the URL link, which you'll have to manually put in. He'll also email it to you for ease, but you'll also get the physical telegram.
Fuck the email.
Yeah, seriously. That's amazing.
Yeah,
what
throwing,
the hell?
I'm throwing my email down the toilet.
$35. This is what I went for.
There's more.
Not only do you get the telegram, you also get an actual vinyl.
For 35? That's like nothing.
Yeah, 35 for an actual vinyl of the piece.
So cool.
And I'm like, okay, so it's theme punk hip hop by a group that I know can actually deliver, Scrub Club. This is Mad Hatter's. This is a project he's been working on for years. Not only will I get a vinyl, but also get a telegram.
It's crazy.
And here's $35. You sold me, sir. We have an interview with awesome Adam Warrock.
Coming right up.
But before that, before we jump into that,
yeah,
let's jump into an interview you did that I'm really impressed and jealous of.
Yeah, you're talking about the Devo interview.
Yep, I'm talking about the Devo interview.
Well, yeah, well, I'm just going to play a little clip of some of the questions with me and Jerry Casale. Something you might not know about Jerry is, you know, Mark Mothersbaugh, the lead singer, gets a lot of the attention, but Jerry's almost all the time co-author of the song, so Mark and Jerry share the same placement. Here's my discussion with Jerry.
I'm wearing a blue energy dome right now, which, of course, as everyone knows, safely recycles my orgone energy. I was wondering if the Everybody Mask has a similar purpose.
Now, the Everybody Mask, that was just done to make everybody feel better about getting together when they know they have physical differences and some people are better looking than others. And this neutralizes the playing field and emphasizes how we're the same rather than our differences.
Did the Everybody Mask then challenge people to break away from the Everybody persona?
Well, it forces you to define yourself in some other way than just ego and narcissism.
In 1996, Devo released a CD-ROM game, The Adventures of the Smart Patrol, and this game came out only a short while after reforming as a band. What prompted the project to happen?
A good friend of mine partnered with a guy named Paul Vidic, and they created a company called Inscape, and Inscape was dedicated to producing video games that were music-oriented, music-driven, and connected to music acts. And they thought, well, what better group to do a video game than Devo? But of course, it was very limited, ancient caveman technology. We worked in a program called Director, and it was all 2D CG, and the world we created was very rudimentary and flat compared to the big money games and the first-person shooter games. It was a point-and-click game done in Director, and I worked hard on that one, too. And I would just love to do that whole game again with all the modern technology, because it was a role-playing game where you entered the world. And at any given point in this 12-hour drama, you could choose to be at one of 12 locations, either on the side of the Smart Patrol or working against them. And depending on where you went and when you went there, you knew different things than another player would. It was a puzzle. The script was an interactive script and a 12-hour puzzle. And the game, while it's there, it was too tedious and too slow to get the experience you should be having. By the time you had the experience, you're like, I'm tired of pointing and clicking and waiting for screens to change.
So you had a pretty strong creative hand in the project then?
Oh, yeah. I was working on it on a daily basis with their in-house crew, their game programmers, and their graphics department.
Devo still has a presence in the video game world. There's 3 Devo songs currently playable in Rock Band, and With It is scheduled to appear in Rock Band 3. The recordings that were previously in Rock Band were all new recordings made just for the game. Is With It going to be a new recording as well?
Yeah, it's a sound-alike recording.
Does Devo have any plans to do more projects within the video game industry?
Oh, well, we would love to. We constantly seek out opportunities and have meetings. It's just, you would think that everybody would be very interested in having Devo do that, but it's just not that way, you know. We get treated like chopped liver all too often. Doesn't make any sense.
Where can we hear the whole thing again?
Consequence of Sound, but link through to the Nerdy Show site. Haha.
Sweet. Well then, let's jump into Later Is Now.
Yes.
By Devo.
One of my favorite tracks from the album. We'll be right back.
Metroid Metal is here with the Nerdy Show.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's...
Starts a small boy, becomes a strong man, then comes a realizing a power in one's hands. One day the man is faced with one fate, and placed within the story a path that one takes. And so starts the hero, hands shaking at first, who stumbles upon a power and takes upon a curse, and keeps his secret safe and holds back the pain, and those around him can't understand the sudden change. But the burden lies the heaviest, the broader the shoulders, cause heroes can move mountains while people can keep them sober. And so the day will come when the city needs a light, and thus the hero rises out the dead of the night. And men will fight men, and demons will stay bottled, and harm to Earth stem, then praise will be throttled. And so he stands alone, and now he sees the way that his life is not the same, and he's dealing with the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a hero and the power he's given. When face to face with life, which side will he take? Cause the difference in a hero and the villain is the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a villain and the plans that he's spinning. When the people need a hero to come and save the day, then the difference in the hero and the villain is the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a hero and the power he's given. When face to face with life, which side will he take? Cause the difference in a hero and a villain is the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a villain and the plans that he's spinning. When the people need a hero to come and save the day, then the difference in the hero and the villain is the absolute truth.
With great power comes great responsibility, and life is ever changing, so people forget the memory.
And after the thrill of battle has faded to black, what's left is just a boy who wants his life back. And still he finds solace, and though he goes alone, and soon he finds others who help him feel at home. And together they stand, but the threat level is higher, so the evil that they face also starts to conspire. When the battle hits home and he's faced with a choice, cause this time will test him more than what he's faced to this point. But within, a hero finds a power greater than that, and he comes forth and still leaves his spirit intact. And deep within his eyes still rests the same boy, and stuck between worlds he's a toy of the absolute
truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a hero and the power he's given. When face to face with life, which side will he take? Cause the difference in a hero and the villain is the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a villain and the plans that he's spinning. When the people need a hero to come and save the day, then the difference in the hero and the villain is the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a hero and the power he's given. When face to face with life, which side will he take? Cause the difference in a hero and the villain is the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a villain and the plans that he's spinning. When the people need a hero to come and save the day, then the difference in the hero and the villain is the absolute truth.
Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Nah, it's Adam or Rock, but everything has changed. Holding the mic, all the people are saying there's an evil going on, and it's coming with the absolute truth. Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Nah, it's Adam or Rock, but everything has changed. Holding the mic, all the people are saying there's an evil going on, and it's coming with the absolute truth. Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Nah, it's Adam or Rock, but everything has changed. Holding the mic, all the people are saying there's an evil going on, and it's coming with the absolute truth. Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Nah, it's Adam or Rock, but everything has changed. Holding the mic, all the people are saying there's an evil going on, and it's coming with the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a hero and the power he's given. When face to face with life, which side will he take? Cause the difference in a hero and the villain is the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a villain and the plans that he's spinning. When the people need a hero to come and save the day, then the difference in the hero and the villain is the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a hero and the power he's given. When face to face with life, which side will he take? Cause the difference in a hero and the villain is the absolute truth, power, and wisdom. It's all about a villain and the plans that he's spinning. When the people need a hero to come and save the day, then the difference in the hero and the villain is the absolute truth.
What you just listened to was Absolute Truth by Adam Warrock from his brand new album coming out, The War for Infinity.
On the line with us, we got Adam Warrock. He's a rapper who we played in the past. You may remember some of his songs. You know, they're pretty good. And he does a really amazing podcast called Warrock at Ajax with Chris Sims of Comic Alliance and the Invincible Superbug.
You went with Absolute Truth, huh?
Yeah, that's why. Did you have something that you prefer?
No. I just interested to know what songs people are going to respond to when they finally hear the album. Nobody's heard the album except the people who have the press copies. I never know what songs people are going to like when I put them up on the website. I'm always surprised because I'll put up a song and I'm just like, oh man, this song is like going to be so awesome. Like, I'm so excited for it. And everyone's like, oh, it's okay. And then the ones that I'm just like, well, I guess I'll just throw this up are the ones that people are like, oh, this is like really awesome. I'm like, really? Okay. So I just kind of, I never know, you know?
What's a song that had that kind of reaction that everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And you're like, really?
That Doctor Who song.
Really? Oh, I love that song.
You know, but the reason is I'm not a Doctor Who fan, so I didn't understand the level of, like...
The kids love the Doctor Who.
I literally did it as a fuck you to all my friends who are Doctor Who fans. Like, it's sort of, like, lighthearted, but it was really, like, I'm so sick and tired of hearing all of you talk about Doctor Who. Like, my friends know that I'm always just, like... Chris Haley of Let's Be Friends Again, he, like, whenever I hang out with him, he has, like, a sonic screwdriver.
Yeah. And we had an awful stint at the show where Mike had a sonic screwdriver and he kept deploying it during the episode.
I'll find it again in winter. It's in one of my jackets.
But, like, I make relentless fun of them for it. And
as you should.
It's funny because I'm the only one who doesn't watch it, so nobody laughs except me. But I find it amusing to myself. So that song is kind of like, you know, this is for all of you people. And it just kind of blew up. It still gets cited on all these Doctor Who forums, and I'm just like, all the Doctor Who forums have the strangest URL names. So whenever I see that link track back, I'm like, what the hell is this forum? Like, because I don't know what any of the terminology.
You're like, show is. Like the Gallifreyan mystery. What's that? And then you're like, oh fucking hell! God damn!
I thought it was
it.
A porn site. You're like, God damn it!
I got a track back from somebody on Twitter, and I followed it back to her site, and she is a submissive sex worker.
Like, wait, what does that mean?
Like she's not a dominatrix. She's
a professional slave.
She gets dominated.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She's a slave.
Like, lets guys dominate her, and she keeps a blog where she describes in graphic detail what she does with all these dudes.
Yeah,
I think I've also been linked by this person. Well, I'm not even kidding.
She's a big comics fan, so
yeah, yeah.
And then like she's got pictures on her blogger site, and it's like must click over 18 to enter because she's got pictures of her like boobs and pictures of her ass with like just naked ass in the air, and she's like, I was like, wow, this is interesting. I just found that
rough life.
And then there's a mention of you next to one of the pictures for some reason. You're like, why am I here?
She's like, baby needs a spanking. Also, this guy's music is cool.
You know when you're getting dominated by a dude and he's spanking you? I like to listen to Eugene Warrock. Don't you like to listen to him when you're doing that? That's not just me, right?
When I'm handcuffed to a cross, I love to listen to the West Coast Avengers mixtape.
Oh, great, man, I should definitely seek her out for my next mixtape to, like, do one of those things. Like
when I'm tied up and ball gagged.
Yeah, when I've got a ball gag in my mouth.
I like my master to scroll through 8-bit theater.
Can you guys hear?
Yeah. There's a little bit of like break, but it's not too bad.
I don't know how loud I sound because I can't hear myself in my headphones.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
You sound totally sexy.
You're really good.
Crisp and smooth.
I would do you.
Like a mint julep.
Now, are you guys still? Is this still Drunken Podcast Month?
No, that's over.
Yeah, this is. This
it
is,
could be.
This is us sober.
This is sober.
Okay, and I can curse and everything, right?
Hell yeah! What's your favorite cuss word?
And you have
you
to
know,
say it.
I think a lot of people say that "fuck" is their favorite cuss word, but I think mine's "shit."
Yeah.
Just because, like, it's the thing that I said the most as a child because I was just like, when you learn that curse words are so bad, you're just like, shit, you know, like, you say it like that.
My favorite swear word is my mother's a whore.
That's not a swear
yes,
word.
Yes, it is.
That's just the truth.
She's also a bitch.
She's also a vampire.
And missing part of her tongue.
Yeah. She's pure, concentrated evil.
But not half as bad as your grandmother.
Mom times 10.
Or half as sexy.
Ryan, I hope you like your dick being covered in scorpion bites.
Yeah, let's get back to this interview now. What are you supposed to be doing, please? Because this is just being fucked up now. I don't even know what's going on.
No, please keep going on.
Well, Adam, when I initially found your music, I was looking at it and I was like, okay, cool, Adam Warrock. Like, that's awesome. We're doing a cosmic episode. This is going to be perfect. Scroll through, like, there's no music about cosmic stuff. What the fuck? Only to find out that, you know, you're saving it all for the album. Now, the album's kind of a concept piece.
Yeah, it's kind of telling a story from track 1 through, I guess, track 16, I believe. And it kind of it's loosely and very legally based on, inspired by, the original Marvel Comics Infinity Gauntlet saga. Not that new one, right, guys?
Nobody no. wants
it. I know that bullshit.
But.
Oh. It's just some asshole tricking you into reading a US 1 comic. I don't
Yeah, man. I don't know who that space trucker is, man. This does not have 90s art. I can't read this.
Exactly.
Can't, it's bullshit.
Space Zeppelin WTF.
Yeah, man. This is no. You know what? This is clever. This is funny. This is entertaining. That is not why
I read comics.
Not why I read comics. I read comics because I am an asshole. And I like to be an asshole about what I'm reading. Like, I have bad opinions. And I want to take my bad opinions on the internet and just shit on everything in existence. I am Captain Asshole. I eat my own shit. I love how it smells. And
Mike, I'm detecting a slight amount of ire.
Hey, man. Hey, you're the reason I'm this way. All right. If you just page for page traced and copied the original Infinity Gauntlet, I'd be happy.
I'd buy it. I'd buy it if you did that.
Yeah, like this, I'd stand in my local comic book store. I read the entire thing because it's...
Dude, you can't even do a Captain America comic book in continuity. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, dude. And I think it's bullshit that you're not going to reference that he's dead. So
I would like it if you had just, like, crossed a line through, like, Jim Starlin's name. And just, like, written it with, like, a backwards R. And
yeah.
Brian.
Yeah. Brian Klebinger.
No, but it's funny because I've always been a huge fan of Marvel's Infinity Gauntlet. It's probably my all-time favorite saga. And I had the idea for the album, and I've been working on it since, like, back in 2009. You know, all the way back then.
And,
ancient history.
It sort of happened where my album came out at a time when there's all stuff about the Infinity Gauntlet coming out, like Brian's series, and the fact that there's rumors that it's going to be in the event, like, sort of tied into the Avengers movie, possibly.
Or the Thor movie, maybe.
Like, yeah. If I hadn't have already written it, or if the time had been where I was still in the process of recording it, I probably would have put more shout-outs to Brian's series in this one, but it was just, like, it was already kind of...
What if, man?
I'm a fan of your series and your stuff, so I'm not one of those.
You are an idiot then, okay? because Brian is a terrible writer. His stuff, it makes me happy and I laugh, and it's just, and I can't buy that. I just read that in the store.
I like being miserable every fucking day. When I read Atomic Robo, I'm not miserable, and that's bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
I like being miserable.
Yeah, same here, man.
God.
I hate comic books.
is a conclusion.
So it's a story album. It's telling this kind of narrative that goes through the whole thing, but it's not like people are just talking to each other and saying dialogue in rap form. It's not like that old MTV hip hopera with Mos Def
that
aired a while ago. I think it was like Carmen or something.
Yeah, it was.
I kind of wrote it where it was meant to be able to, like, you could pull out songs from it and listen to them by themselves and they would kind of stand on their own. But when you put them all together, it kind of does tell a story about, like, a hero and a villain and them kind of having this grand battle that spans the universe, things like that. But, yeah, it's a story album, and then there's a single on it that everyone seems to like called The Silver Age.
Well, I will listen to it, and then I will go on the message boards and point out all the things that are incorrect about it.
So many continuity errors.
I would expect nothing less from the comics fandom.
Yeah, they're a positive group of people.
Inspiring, really.
Yeah.
Huge, outside of the tracks on your current album, what are your favorite tracks that you've ever written?
Wow, that's quite a question. So I guess, like, I should explain that on my website, morrock.com, I have this thing which I call, like, a never-ending mixtape.
I
jack instrumentals from other places, and I make new songs over them, and I just post it up for free, and people can download them or listen to them there. And I kind of post up, like, usually about a song or two a week. So my favorite songs I've ever done, let me pull up a list of my songs that I've done.
It's extensive. I mean, by the time I got to it, it was threatening in scope.
Yeah, so. No, same here. But now you're on my, I've gotten that entire discography. You're on my RSS feeder, and so.
There you go. I would actually say that there's a song on the West Coast Avengers mixtape called Vision, which was the only song on that mixtape that was not, it was already kind of a song before I made the mixtape that I really like. It's a very ponderous kind of, like, softer track that kind of describes a lot of my neurotic worrisome tendencies about life being that I'm trying to be a professional rapper about comic books that I really enjoy. I also wrote a song called Girl Comics.
Yeah, which, I really love that track.
Yeah, like I like it because if I was telling people that I do hip-hop about comic books, a lot of times people would think that all the songs would just be like just total name drop-a-thons, where all I do is just constantly make references to like different comic book characters.
I know about Bucky.
Yeah, yeah. And Girl Comics was kind of like my attempt to do a name drop track, but do it in a way where like it wasn't just me kind of laundry listing out characters. So it was right around the time that Girl Comics was coming out from Marvel Comics, and I wrote it, I think, like a really positive track, and I think it came out really well, where I just, it's like a, I don't know, what would you call it? Like, it's a positive female empowerment song.
I guess, yeah, the release was really timely. I think the first issue had come out by the time that that dropped.
Yeah, so it's just naming all these female comic book characters in it, and just talking about how comics should be like a treehouse that boys and girls can hang out in, because that, those Girl Comics issues that came out, they raised up this debate with a lot of people about women's place in comics and stuff like that. And I remember reading a lot of responses from very well-spoken, intelligent, and balanced-minded people saying like really nasty things about it.
Really?
And I was just kind of like, you know, we should just chill out. So it's just stuff like that that kind of takes a spin on what you would expect a comic book song to be about, and like, that's definitely one of my favorite tracks I've made recently.
The same, similar note, one of my favorite songs that you've done recently was Millie Got a Pull List.
Yeah. Are you guys De La Soul fans from De La Soul's Dead, that period, stuff like that?
I am, actually.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people who listen to my music, they're not necessarily like the most obsessive hip-hop fans from back in the 90s, which is like totally fine. I mean, I'm just an obsessive hip-hop fan. And that was a take on Millie Pulled a Pistol on Santa, which is a song off of De La Soul's Dead.
Yeah, I know that song.
Yeah, and it's the same beat. And I've always wanted to use that beat for something and write like a story rap, because the original Millie Pulled a Pistol on Santa is a story about a girl named Millie. And it's a pretty depressing story, because it's the story about how she's just completely abused by her dad and like shoots him because he's a Santa Claus in a Macy's store. Like, that is seriously
very ominous story.
Yeah. That is seriously what the song is about, and it's always been like one of my favorite De La Soul songs, but mine's a little bit more positive, I would say, right?
Definitely, no, that's what I liked about it. That was a positive story. It was about comics. It was about someone just finding their place in the comic community.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of the music that I make is about that subject, because for a long time, I kind of struggled with how people would perceive me in terms of like nerdcore and geek rap and stuff like that. And it's not because I didn't like nerdcore. It's because I didn't feel like my stuff sounded like a lot of nerdcore that was out there. And I didn't want people to kind of have a misconception of what they were going to hear when they came to me. Because like a lot of my music actually takes a lot more influence from like the early 2000s, late 90s, like indie movement. Like a lot of that like atmosphere, like Sage Francis kind of, or like Anticon even, hip hop back in the day.
Yeah.
I agree. And so it strives very much to sound like golden age hip hop, and there's so like there's all these like bubbles of what kind of geek you can be, and there's a lot of people who use that to be really cynical and really negative, which like I actually enjoy joining in that, you know, brawl once in a while too. But like a lot of what I do with my music and what I've done with my music ever since I started making music back in college was I always kind of wanted to put a positive spin on stuff, because I would rather make music that kind of makes you feel a little happy rather than music about just throwing Molotovs in every direction around you, which, you know, there will always be music for me to listen to for that. That's just not what comes out of me naturally.
Your music is, in a lot of ways, less insular than the nerdcore movement. It's bigger. It's actually, and if I will go ahead and say this, it is better than a huge percentage of most nerdcore music.
Well,
as far as, like, consistency of the rhymes, writing in general.
It's interesting because there's a lot of people in the nerdcore scene because they found it and go, wait, I can do that too. I want to be a part of that. Opposed to someone who was into hip-hop and decided, well, I want to rap, but I want to rap about what I like.
Yeah, there's a distinction. It's like when people try to like lump U2 into Christian rock.
Yeah.
It's similar in a weird way.
I mean, it's like when Random started, right? Are you familiar with Megaran?
I actually am, very recently, through Chris Sims. He actually turned me on to him with his Forever Famicom album recently.
He started off rapping more intellectual rap than anything else, and then he discovered Wendy Cracker's Nerd Rap Entertainment System album and went, wait, I can rap about video games? That's okay. It's kind of what his response was. And so he's like, well, I'm going to do that too. Like, that's what I've always wanted to do. I just didn't know it was cool to do that now.
Yeah, it's funny because I think the reason that my stuff sounds much less like really, really hardcore rap in any kind of way is because I took a long break from making music when I went to law school.
Wow.
Big mistake. If anyone out there is thinking about going to law school, email me and I will talk you out of it. But I took a long break because obviously when you're in law school, there's not a lot of time to make raps because you're reading horribly boring stuff all the time. When I started making music again, what started me in this direction was Jonathan Colton's music. And it was because he writes like humorous geek music, but all his songs have this very meaningful message in them. And I was like so obsessed with Jonathan Colton's music. Like I still am. He's one of my like hugest influences of anything. When I started making hip hop, I was really into comics and I was really into all this geeky stuff. And I was like, I'm going to kind of try to do that where I put a little spin on these subjects that will pull you in immediately and then we'll say something more. And so probably the reason that it's less towards that nerdcore way and more toward like an indie-ish kind of way is because my cues come from Jonathan Colton or like Kirby Crackle's music or things like that, which, you know, they're not at all hip hop. They're very much like this kind of bittersweet emotional pop.
Yeah.
And like that's the lens through which I make rap. Whereas before in college, I was making just like straight up kind of indie rap music.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Nerdy Show has the honor to debut this new song, Nerd Corpse, Nerdcore. I now have the honor to present it to you.
Ah.
Adam Warrock, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys.
And guys, proceed over to our website to get a link to where you can pick up the War for Infinity. You order the CD, and when you do that, it comes with immediate digital download as well as a bunch of bonus tracks and material, which is fucking awesome.
30 tracks. It will come with 30 immediate tracks of downloads.
Oh, damn!
Boom!
So that's deluxe treatment.
Wow. That's too much.
And
music.
A CD and a button. That has a likeness of a character inspired by Pip the Troll, who looks like he's wearing Flava Flav gear.
That's awesome. That is like. Absolutely awesome.
Give me that.
And also there'll be a link to where you can listen to all of Warrock at Ajax and all of its awesome comic podcast glory. So yeah, dig this track.
I believe it's the sound the Green Lantern made when Sinestro threw him into a vat of acid.
Start a website, start a blog too. You want hip hop? It's alright, we got you. So now these rappers talk about my skills like he's alright, but he's not real. Go ahead and talk about how Adam never paid his dues. Your business model's all worn out like my favorite shoes. With your little local scene and your whack ass crew. Don't even ask to do a show when I'm passing through. And just because I speak on comics and rap, I'm bombing these cats. Be honest, what's your problem with that? So now you wanna talk how you could do better. Rocking your throwback Snoopy iceberg sweater. I'm a postmodern gangster, ironic half-stepper. Rapping for a living cause my mama never taught me better. Cause this is hip-hop, just not the stuff you're used to. We're like the ultimate version of the Juice Crew. This isn't hardcore, this is for the art dorks, theater geeks and comic book losers and all the smart sorts. This is for the tabletop dice rollers and poetry readers and every nerdy kid who's still repping the art form. Submit your application. You know we're all waiting. You know we're coming through. So listen up, here's what the core can do for you. I know, I used to hate being labeled as a nerd MC. I grew up trying to shake the labels others gave into me.
Dork, geek, loser, chain, gook, idiot.
Stones would break my bones, but words still hurt a little bit. It's why I listen to Wu-Tang and Redman. Discman batteries eating up as quickly as it can. But I grew into these size 11s easily rocking open mics and freestyle competition. See, these days these DJs play beats by cats like MC Fun a lot and Jesse Dangerously, which left me room to steady express myself so freely and speak on comic books and accept these labels in me. And now I'm stronger on the mic than ever before, and pretty soon you're gonna get an Adam CD at your door. And to all those dudes who used to make fun and then their chicks is wearing War Rock t-shirts to bed. This isn't hardcore, this is for the art dorks, theater geeks and comic book losers and all the smart sorts. This is for the tabletop dice rollers and poetry readers and every nerdy kid who's still repping the art form. Submit your application. You know we're all waiting. You know we're coming through. So listen
up, here's what the core can do for you. First, we offer freedom of expression in our Bill of Rights. Rap about whatever you want to, use your inner light. Two, we let you wear whatever uniform is comfortable. Rockin' Birkenstocks and a poncho if you wanna do. And three, you can even use big words in your verses. Every audience member is using their thesaurus. Fourth, you can be any color or race. Do whatever you feel and rap to any other's taste. And five, make sure your fans don't even like rap. That's fine, cause these days fans don't even hide that. And six, do your best to rhyme and rap it to the beat. It's a loose requirement, but best left to the elite. Number seven, only rock shows and crappy dive bars. And let local acts open up who really try hard. And last, make the music that comes straight from the heart. And support independent art. Support independent art. This isn't hardcore, this is for the art dorks. Theater geeks and comic book losers and all the smart swords. This is for the tabletop dice rollers and poetry readers. And every nerdy kid who's still repping the art. Submit your application. You know we're all waiting. You know we're coming through. So listen up, here's what the core can do for you.
Dup, 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 derp.
1, 2, 3, go.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, Dungeons and Doritos, comics, videos, and more, go to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NerdyShow or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, give us your money by visiting the Nerdy Show store and picking up a t-shirt or donate directly to cool nerdy perks.